Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead, inside the Business Radio X studios. Here we are once again, Friday, July 10th, and you're listening to Georgia Business Radio. I am your host today, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is Rich Casanova.
I don't know why you point to me on the radio, but yeah, sitting in as producer, engineer, co-host if you need me, Ryan's right-hand man.
That's right, and we appreciate you being here and keeping everything straight. I want to remind our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at Georgia Biz Radio. Also follow the studio at Buckhead Radio X on Twitter as well. So got a great group of guests here in the studio. Want to briefly introduce them and welcome them to the show. First, Trisha Whitlock, how are you today?
Doing well.
And you're with Hypotamus, right?
I am. So usually we call it Hype because Hypopotamus is kind of a mouthful. So it is. Okay, we'll stick with Hype today.
What's the story behind that name?
Actually, so the guys that started Hypopotamus were really just ahead of the curve with the internet in general. So they bought a ton of domain names. And when they wanted to open the space, they kind of looked and saw what they owned and thought Hypotamus was the coolest thing they had, so they ran with
it. It's definitely one of the most unique names I've heard. So we'll talk more about that in detail. So we'll be back to you in just a moment.
Right.
Also, let's welcome Blake Nations to the studio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And you're with over50jobboard.com.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's right. So you have to be 50 or plus to be in that.
Ideally.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps.
And how long have you been with that?
Well, we've just launched that, actually. Okay. We've been up around 4 months or so.
That new.
Exciting. So we're focusing on a particular need that we see in the country.
Okay. And we'll definitely get to that and more detail of how you're serving the community in just a moment. But let's welcome Harold Alexander. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing great. And we met just a couple weeks ago at the Buckhead Club for the Over 40 Network event.
That's correct. That's
and
correct.
We did some on-site interviews with you about TimeCue.
That's correct.
That's
yes.
right. So
yes.
that's what you're going to be sharing with our listeners today?
Exactly. We'll be telling you everything about TimeCue and you know, how we got started, what it basically does. It's our online time clock with kind of revolutionized time. It'll allow you to clock in and out from your smartphone or tablet and links to your payroll. So.
Very interesting. So advantageous for employers and employees.
That's correct.
Saves time, saves money.
Yes, yes. And it makes it very convenient for you. And, you know, you don't have to be straight, you know, tied down to an office. You can just be, you know, anywhere you need to be and still be able to clock in and out in secure locations. So, yes.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing more about that in more detail. But let's turn our attention here back to Trisha Whitlock. She is the editor-in-chief of Hypotamus, the publication for Atlanta's thriving startup scene. She grew up in Atlanta, is a two-time Georgia State grad, and ran her own small business during her college years. She writes about the movers and the shakers in the local tech ecosystem. You can check her out on the Atlanta Tech Edge on Sundays and hustling around Midtown every day of the week. All right.
Gotta love a hustler.
That's one intro, huh?
You're some sort of hustler, I guess. I had no idea. But you had your own small business in college. What did you do then?
I ran a small swim lesson business. So I was actually a lifeguard. So I know the terrors of having to clock in and clock out, actually, Harold. But I was a lifeguard. One of the families asked me if I gave swim lessons. And so, of course, I was just like, yeah, of course I give swim lessons. And then 7 years later, I had had about 120 families every summer. So it ended up being a gigantic little enterprise that I was doing. So it helped me pay for school and studying abroad and bought my first car. So it afforded me to be able to graduate without any debt, which was fantastic.
Every summer, there's a new crop of kids looking to learn how to swim.
Which is crazy. I mean, once the younger kids would be done, I would be, you know, teaching their younger siblings. And a lot of the parents actually didn't know how to swim either. So I was teaching the entire family in some instances. And it was a lot of fun. I got really sunburned and the cash was great, so I can't complain.
So then you moved on from there.
I did. So I was in nonprofit fundraising for a little while. And while that's very interesting, it's a very tough job. So I got burnt out relatively quickly to escape that, which was also corporate America, which I will never return to.
Okay.
I went back to grad school. And then through grad school, I found out about Hypopotamus and somehow landed in this wonderful gig.
And when was that? When did you join their organization?
That would have been like August of 2013.
Okay.
So at that time, we were actually a physical space. We were one of the first co-working spaces in Atlanta. It was us, Strongbox West, and Next. So we had really kind of the center of gravity for startups. And then Atlanta Tech Village opened, Industrious Office came into town, Opportunity Hub opened. I mean, there's like 30 co-working spaces now, and a lot of them are kind of startup centered. So we figured if we're going to do something philanthropic, because when we had a physical space, it was free space to come in and have a meetup, or it was free to have an actual office there. We figured we could have a larger impact doing something else, and that something else is now a publication.
Oh, wow. So kind of grown, evolved. And so tell us exactly what Hypotamus does and how they're serving the community.
Sure. So we write about early stage tech companies, much like Harold's. We actually did write about TimeQ.
Nice.
So we write about early stage companies, let people know that they're launching or they're looking for beta customers, kind of whatever they're currently in need for, whether it's funding, mentors. And then we also cover early tech talent. So people that have just graduated from school or somebody that is leaving corporate America and wants to get into the tech world, we'll highlight them as available talent. And usually people get a couple offers off of getting covered. So we're helping folks find jobs through that. We also have a job board, which is free for folks to post on. So for startups that don't want to pay a couple $100 to go through LinkedIn or, you know, whatever it is, they can post for us for free and kind of get into the ecosystem that way. And then we also maintain the most comprehensive calendar of startup events and tech events in Atlanta.
Yeah, so part of Business Radio X as a whole, we have some on-site business radio as well as radio in my booth. I was out covering Startup Riot back in February, I think it was, where we did interviews with all the folks there who were pitching their startups there. So that was pretty neat to be part of that event. Very energetic, really exciting. You know, Atlanta's a kind of a hub for some of these tech startups.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that happening here. We're really well known for health IT, security. We're starting to get really big in gaming here as well. Kennesaw State is doing a lot of work on producing a whole lot of gaming talent to come out. So there's a lot of different verticals that we're really finding our footing in to kind of compete with some of the larger, they say, Class A cities for startups.
Yes, I just heard last week that Atlanta is the capital of IT, health IT.
Yeah, we're really big in health IT. So the Global Center for Medical Innovation is actually right off of Tech's campus, or it's almost on Tech's campus, to be honest. But there are really big conferences come through here, too, especially with our, you know, access to the airport and the huge hotel. So a lot of the what's happening in the Southeast is starting to find its center of gravity here in Atlanta.
And you know, what are some other elements you attribute that to? Is it the airport? Is it the college campuses?
It's a lot. Well, and it's also because when you have a startup and if you're not going after venture funding, you need to bootstrap, which means you're either you're working on it at night or you're not taking a salary and doing it full time. So being able to survive during that time and thrive, not only like being able to have a roof over your head, but also being able to build a business, it's important for it to be inexpensive to live. And it's very inexpensive to live in Atlanta. I mean, I live in what I consider the nicest part in like 10th and Piedmont, right in the epicenter of what's happening in the city. And it's not crazy expensive to live there. So I think for a lot of folks, it's the cost of living is extremely low. There's a whole lot of talent. We have so many different technical colleges, as well as Georgia Tech and Emory and Georgia State and Kennesaw, where they're just pumping out all of this tech talent. And a lot of these kids really don't want to leave. They feel like it's fun to be young in Atlanta. There's so much to do here that you can have a fantastic lifestyle, make a pretty considerable salary in the tech world here. So that's what really hype it's all about, is trying to retain these kids. So keeping everybody who is tech talented in Atlanta and not losing them and getting them poached by Google as they graduate. And then also starting to attract other folks from outside. So having people in the Southeast starting to come here to build their lives and build their businesses and hire more Atlantans to build more businesses.
Yeah, as a native Atlanta myself, actually third generation Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
My dad and my granddad both grew up here in Atlanta.
You're a dime a dozen.
Yeah, well, I know. There's very few of us out there. I've moved away several times only to return because Atlanta just has been calling me. It's a great city, they have great energy. But back to your point of the colleges, universities are inside the city limits. Tech,
yes.
Emory, Georgia State. You know, Kennesaw is just north of the city, but I mean, that right there.
Still so close.
Yeah. I mean, and then those are really, you know, growing places for these young tech people. So,
yeah. I mean, the programs that are coming out of the universities are extraordinary. Startup Exchange, which is now at Georgia State and Georgia Tech. I want to say Emory has one as well, or if not, it's something in a similar vein with a different name. And they're like mini accelerators. So students are going in there with ideas, and then there's mentorship and sometimes funding around them. And it's helping them to build businesses while they're still in college, which is a great time to do it because you can really be testing without having having to worry about the overhead of taking care of yourself. Yeah, really, right? You can build something in a dorm room, which we all know is where some of the best things have been created.
That is true. I've had some great times in those areas as well. And just to throw out some stats that I got from your website, you know, Georgia is the third largest concentration of Fortune 500 companies, according to Atlanta Regional Tech Commission. And local colleges and universities graduate over 2,400 top quality engineers every year, according to Forbes magazine. So right there, those two, you know, you can see that we are growing and we're doing good things to serve the world.
What's interesting about our Fortune 500 density is it's really important for startups to have a large first customer. It can be a signal to other businesses that they're, you know, kind of have some collateral behind them. So having Coke and having Delta kind of all in one place is fantastic. But even though we are the third in concentration of 500s, we're really the first in concentration of 500s that aren't competing with each other. So in New York, it's all financial institutions and they're all after the same dough, right? But here, it's if Coke really likes you, they might actually refer you to Delta. Mm-hmm. So you have a better chance of having more partners in Atlanta really than anywhere else.
Now, that's an excellent point. Yeah, we've got some large corporations, but they're not trying to serve the same market.
Right, they're really in different markets. So it's interesting that you can be partnering with all of them in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And again, more than 60% of all financial technology companies in the U.S. call Georgia home, and 70% of all U.S. payments processed annually run through Georgia, according to the ATP Coalition. So that right there, Georgia's a financial hub.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yeah, we have Payments Alley is what they call it. And I have to admit, I've never been because it sounds like a lot of old white guys in suits. And that's not that's not usually my gig.
Where is that?
It's somewhere in Buckhead.
Okay.
But yeah, it's amazing how much of that is here. And like 70%, that's crazy that it all comes through Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, Buckhead is the epicenter, the financial epicenter of the Atlanta area. And we love being a Buckhead. We see it every week. You know, the business leaders, the thought leaders who come through this studio for all of our many shows, and a lot of them, you know, are still amazed by Buckhead and the energy and everything that's created here. So
well,
we love
Buckhead. Changed so much in only a couple of years. I actually lived here during my college days at Georgia State, and even like between 6 years ago and now, the area looks so different. Mm-hmm. It's incredible how much it's grown.
No doubt about it. We're talking with Trish Whitlock. She's the editor-in-chief of Hypotamus. You can go find out more information about them on hypotamus.com. And so, you know, how do folks kind of find you? How do you find the startups? Or how does that all come
about?
Sure.
So sometimes I'll go to pitch events and I'll see them there. Now that we're kind of being known as the place for startups to have a voice in the South, we're getting a lot of people that are approaching us with great stories that they're launching. So it's a lot of hustling. It's a lot of kind of,
you are a hustler.
That's right.
Right.
It's a lot of kind of beating the pavement to find out where these people are and then kind of pull the stories out of them.
And are you just an online publication?
Yes, we are solely online. So, okay. You know, we're heavily catering to the millennial audience for sure. We want them to see that this is a place that you can build something interesting.
And so since we are a business radio, Georgia Business Radio, how does Hypotamus generate money and generate the content to continue the mission?
Sure. So we're actually wholly funded by a venture firm at this time. So BLH Ventures backs us completely. We are a very lean staff. We're able to do a lot with a little. So it's not a very expensive venture. And we're able to, I think, have a very large impact from that. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we will, you know, try to monetize from a long-term sustainability viewpoint. But for right now, we're really just working on building an audience and having as much of an impact as we can on helping people find jobs, find first customers, and build their businesses.
So you're not your traditional business model for a publication of any kind.
No, and a lot of those are really going extinct. So it's a matter of, you know, is advertising, does just pay-per-click advertising really work? Is it banner ads, you know, or is it there's memberships, a membership model? There's so many different ways to go about it. So I'm trying to figure out the newest way before we actually go.
Well, you know, that's what we're doing here at Business Radio X. We're not your traditional media platform. You know, we are earned media pro business. You know, when folks go on CNN or Fox News, there's a scandal involved.
Sure.
Or they're looking to, you know, get the dirt on somebody. We're not doing that here. We're here to have you talk about your business and get the word out of how you're serving your community, your profession, and your market. So, you know, we love what you guys are doing there.
Thank
at
you.
Hypotamus. And glad you joined us in the studios. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about yourself, your organization. And,
sure. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A Whitlock, W-H-I-T-L-O-C-K. If you'd like to email me directly, please feel free. It's Trish, T-R-I-S-H, at Hypopotamus. And that's obviously a mouthful, but it's H-Y-P-E-P-O-T-A-M-U-S.com. We're at Hypopotamus on Twitter. If you type in Hypopotamus in Facebook, you're bound to find us. I'm always around town, but if anyone's interested in meeting me personally, I will definitely be at Polygon on July 22nd. We are having a event with all the coding schools in Atlanta in one place to kind of talk about the differentiation between what they do. Mm-hmm. So I will be there kind of emceeing and would love if anyone wanted to come by. It's a free event. We're going to have booze and pizza. So
and that
might be worthwhile even more than meeting me, right?
What's the date and location of that?
That's going to be, it's July 22nd at 6:30 at Polygon, which is a startup space in Atlantic Station. So if they go on hypopotamus.com, they'll definitely be able to find it. It says Battle of the Coding Schools is the name of the post.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Rich, you may have to want to attend that one yourself. It's right up your alley.
I'm in beer and pizza.
Yeah. You got me. I thought coding. That was you.
Coding. I feel like we should have the chime for the spelling bee when she spells out hypotenuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the correct answer is?
Yeah. Use that in a sentence, please. Yeah.
I'm the only one who can spell it, so you have to ask me.
I prefer just hype, whatever. Yeah,
hype That's is a cool. little easier.
Well, thank you so much, Tricia, for joining us. Please stick
me.
Around here. We're going to talk to some other guests here, and if you have any questions for them, feel free to chime in.
Thank you.
Next up on the list here is Blake Nations. He's CEO of Over50JobBoard.com. He's a professional recruiter with more than 25 years of experience recruiting for professionals ranging from physicians and more. Not long ago, he found himself out of work, and with limited prospects due to his age, finding employment after age 50 became a challenge despite his deep experience. He recently joined the internet startup Over50JobBoard.com to lead the organization and provide guidance on how the company can best serve baby boomers as they continue to seek gainful employment. Just prior to joining Over50JobBoard, Blake was compelled to take a retail job in order to keep business. Can you say where that was?
Probably not.
No, but you probably didn't enjoy working in the retail.
Was it a barista?
Yeah. Sporting goods.
You do what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah. Right. And so you had that transition from your regular corporate job, which is you had 25 years experience.
That's correct.
Found yourself out of work.
Right.
And then, where did you find the kind of desire or to keep going?
Well, I kept running into people who were in the same situation. There are many people in their 50s and 60s that are being displaced by their companies for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. Many of them because they are looking for younger people who are more functional technology-wise. The older group may not be there. They can't function as fast on a computer as mm-hmm. younger people. So they end up having to lose their job.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it also, after all those years of experience, you kind of demand a certain salary, and companies don't want to pay that.
That's correct.
Right.
They're coming in. 07 and 08, with the recession, changed the world mm-hmm. in terms of income. People started losing higher paid jobs, started being replaced with younger people for less money. Many of the younger kids coming out of school, right out of school. In the recruiting industry, for example, that's primarily the way a lot of recruiting companies go now.
Yeah.
They hire kids that have just graduated, minimal salary, with a bonus, with a commission structure, and even top-end pay there is much less than it was even in the 90s mm-hmm. for recruiters.
Right.
So the world changed.
No doubt about it. And going forward, people aren't retiring at 65 anymore either. So they
That's
are
correct.
Working late into their 70s, sometimes 80s. I know we have a lady works in the building here. She's well into her 80s and still doing great things on a daily basis. So I guess Over 50 Job Board, is creating an old new customer base as
there
well.
There are two primary motivators for people over 50 looking for work if they're out having to find something. One is they need to work. Mm-hmm. They actually need the money to live. That's one major motivator. The second thing is they may not have to work. They may have a nest egg built up that they can kind of rely on, but they just don't want to stay at home.
Yeah.
They want to work. They're still young enough. They're still healthy enough, and they want to do something.
So what are some of the challenges that someone over 50 can when it comes to finding a good position?
One of the things that's really tough on people over 50, when you've probably had a career and you've had, you may have built up a nice income, sometimes it's tough to replace that. You may not be able to find work that pays as well as you were used to. You may not be able to find work quite in the same industry or a similar industry that you were used to. So you go through some transitions. Many people go through a transition. The transition is that you have to accept some opportunity, job opportunity, that you would never have considered years ago. Maybe retail, customer service, something like that, where it's more of an hourly rate of pay as opposed to a nice salary.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a major transition for you psychologically. You know, and I talked to a gentleman this past weekend. He was released last year by a corporation here in Atlanta. It, completely unexpected, in his upper 50s. And it was a major blow to him. And it was tough. So part of what we're doing is there's a lot of pain that people go through in this process, and we're trying to assist them in being able to deal with it by helping them find job opportunities that are with over-friendly companies, over 50-friendly companies that are out there.
Mm-hmm. So you not only find the job, but you can help counsel them on, you know, some of those changes and some of those adjustments.
Typically
need to make.
What the job board does is, yeah, we will have eventually some articles up there that will help them and that type of information. But the job board has helped them be able to connect with the jobs themselves. They can go there and sign up. They can find the job opportunities. And when they post for it or they sign up for a job opportunity on there, it goes directly to that company.
Mm-hmm. So the corporations, is that mainly who you're trying to get in front of, or is it the actual job seeker?
Both.
Both.
Now, a company, any company can go and post on there free.
Okay.
They can post their jobs free, and we would encourage them to do so. And also for the candidate, it's free for the candidate as well. There's no pay or no charge at this point.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like a good resource for both corporations as well as employees seeking new employment. You know, those days of working somewhere 30, 40 years, getting your gold watch and retiring, you know, to your country house are over.
Yeah,
you can be let go at any day. You're never secure in your position, no matter what your age or what your tenure is at that company.
Exactly.
So is there some steps someone should take to prepare themselves for a potential, job transition before they actually have to go out and seek that online help?
Well, that's a good question. And certainly networking, staying in touch with other people in a variety of areas. You may be able to find opportunities through networking so that you find something similar to what you were in with a higher salary. That would be the best way for them to do that. And attending the networking events or meeting people.
Yeah.
Keeping up when you meet someone, make sure you keep up with their information. Put them on your contact list or some way keep up with who you met so that you may need to call on them again when the time comes.
Yeah, and it may not be in a field that you're currently in,
That's
but it's
correct.
Someone who can help you find the next step, employment, or you maybe have to make those adjustments in the field of work you're in so you can stay gainfully employed. But I guess the kind of underlying message there is just to stay forward thinking in those changes that may come.
There may be some training that you need to go through if you're not particularly effective on a computer, for example. Basic information, basic methodology that younger people know, older people may not know.
Yeah.
And so you may need to do some training.
Yeah, continually educating yourself. Staying current on the what's breaking out there in technology and making sure you're staying active, networking with folks, whether it be on LinkedIn or going to events. Just don't throw those business cards in the trash when you get home.
That's right.
Stay connected with people. So
But over 50 is it's a job board that we're real excited about because you feel like that it is addressing a particular need that is out there. There's 74.9 million baby boomers.
Yeah.
So you just take a small percentage, and you're talking about millions of people that this happens to. And it's I have a feeling that it's probably even higher than a smaller percentage.
Yeah, I know. So walk me through. I go to I'm over 50. I'm out of work. Go to your website. How do you apply? And then how do
you can sign up on the website?
Okay.
You can express interest in certain types of opportunities, and you can receive emails when they're a job is posted on there in your area. You can sort it by city or by zip code, or by just by state, however you want to do that. If you're looking at a certain area, most people in this age range are not movable.
Yes, they've got a house, they've got a family. Yes, they're not looking to relocate right away.
Yeah, so they're not going to be looking for a job in Chicago, mm-hmm. and they live in Atlanta. They're going to be looking for something in the area. So you can sort by that, and you can keep up with new jobs that are on there. We currently have about roughly 41,000 jobs on the site.
Looking for people.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, and these are with over 50 friendly companies.
Yeah.
So these are companies that, that hire people. I talked to a lady recently that she's with a major department store. She said, we like to hire people over 50. Mm-hmm. They give attention to customers. They're on time. They show up for work and not always looking to see how they can get out of work.
Yeah. So you're right about that. There's a certain skill set,
yeah,
and a certain level of respect,
right,
that someone over 50 brings to the table when going to an employer. So
yeah.
You can see why they would be sought out.
Yeah. And they really give attention to the customers, I think, is one of the big things, that they're not standing around when customers come up.
And so you go on the website, you upload your resume, you submit that to some of these potential job openings, and then will you be contacted directly about this for your interview? And then what are the next steps
after
that?
Yes, they would contact you if they have interest. Mm-hmm. Now, what I recommend is, if you're in an area, as a lot of the people are, they may be in rural areas or not necessarily big cities. If you place your application through the job board with a company and you happen to know someone who works with that company, then start networking. Find out who you can contact, who you can need to see, so that you kind of have, you hit them with a double mm-hmm. type of contact.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I imagine the jobs that are posted there are typically your office jobs or retail positions. You're not going to be putting construction work or plumber or, any of those blue-collar type jobs on there. I mean,
you will have them.
Okay.
Now, granted, blue-collar, if you take different types of blue-collar jobs, you have a lot of what I call gray-collar.
Okay.
It's a combination of the two.
Blue and white make gray.
Yeah. For example, in the middle of... Well, in retail jobs.
Let's take a
grocery store.
Yeah.
You may find yourself doing customer service, but at the same time, you may end up stocking. You may end up mopping some floors.
Right. There is some heavy lifting involved,
right.
I guess. Right.
Right. So there's some jobs that are in between.
Yeah.
Blue collar and white collar.
Gotcha. So yeah. a lot of variety of positions available.
Yeah, there are. You got hospitality. You got customer service. And the customer service jobs are good for people who have physically can't stand all day, mm-hmm. or have issues with being able to lift,
right.
Because it's typically phone work. So you have a lot of customer service type jobs. There are jobs in retail. There are jobs in other times. See, we have had some people post some jobs that are manual labor.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
If yes,
that's
please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm curious. There's, 40,000 jobs is a lot to have on one job board. How have you gone about kind of marketing to these, I guess, primarily retail businesses to let them know that this is a place that they can post?
Well, we find out. We try to search out companies that we know are over 50 friendly.
Okay.
That hire. Through various agencies, organizations that are involved with retirees, and you can find that. And so we seek those out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And you've only been around about 4 months, you mentioned, right?
Right, up and running, yeah. Yeah.
And so what's on the horizon for over 50 job
boards? Well, we're just trying to get the word out.
So you want to take it to all cities around the country, I guess?
It's nationwide.
It already is.
We
okay.
have jobs in all 50 states.
Nice.
And so no, we're nationwide.
Good. And you're
50 states plus District of Columbia. So
over 50 job board in over 50 states.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Good tagline there.
Yeah.
Just came up with it. You can use it. So,
Rich Casanova here, a producer engineer. Quick question. And I've been doing a lot of social media. So if you've already answered this question, just say pass, whatever, or you can reiterate. But just a reminder, also, you're listening to Georgia Business Radio with your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. And that's every Friday mornings at 11 o'clock here in the, from the live from the Business Radio studios here in Buckhead. But Blake, how is this different than Craigslist, or is there any comparison, or I guess it's really about your niche, right?
Yeah, it is. It's about the niche. One of the things, for example, a lot of people in their 50s, 60s are not as savvy on the internet as others that are younger. So if you go there, for example, even the font, the print, is larger.
Wow.
We've made it very simple. It's a very simple website to use.
Okay.
If you ever use a Monster or a Career Builder, they're complicated.
It is.
It's very complicated.
It doesn't seem like you get anywhere there. You know, you post stuff on there, and it just ends up like in a vacuum, right?
Yeah. And ours is very simple. If you see the job, you're interested, you express your interest in it.
Okay. And another quick question. Again, you may have already kind of talked about this, but your business model, your revenue. So I guess 4 months. So your posturing is to establish it in the marketplace, build a brand, build the following and the traction, and then start charging for
we will eventually offer
or?
What's called freemiums, where you know someone can sign up for free, and then if you want to find out a little more or have your information posted in a different color or something like that, you can pay for upgrades.
Yeah. And is that for is the primary focus going to be on the employer or the employee or the job seeker as
that
far
would be
as revenue?
For the job seeker. So the reason being that it's employees are really shy about getting into anything that gets into age discrimination or anything of that nature. So we felt like to keep it free for the job posting is going to be the best way to go. And it would be very, very minimal cost.
Well, if you're in all 50 states and you have that many people, I mean, it's pretty simple math, right?
Yeah.
There's a local business called We & Co., and they actually do something relatively similar, but it's for people that are looking to work in the restaurant industry. And they've monetized it by doing newsletters. So they will send out like 3 or 4 great candidates to the actual companies, and the companies pay, I think, like $20 or $30 a month. And they found success that way. So that might be another model to look at, which is pretty interesting.
Exactly.
Excellent. Good advice there. And so again, remind our listeners how they can find out more about your services.
Sure. It's over 50, over, O-V-E-R, 50, jobboard.com. And you can go in there. If you wanted to contact us, you can email me at blake@over50jobboard.com.
Excellent. And I also see you're on Twitter at over 50 job board. And I imagine you're on Facebook as well.
We are.
So folks who are over 50 and are very social media savvy, you can link up with them there as well. So thank you for sharing your information here today, Blake. Please stick around
Appreciate you having me.
A little more as we turn our attention now to Harold Alexander. He is with Alexander Software, Inc., and is the producer of TimeQ, the online time clock that allows employees to clock in and out from their smartphone. With TimeQ, an employer can enter an address, and after their employee downloads the app, that employee can only clock in and out from that address entered in by the employer. Their time can be then uploaded to your payroll software to begin the process of paychecks. All right, TimeQ.net.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So how long has TimeQ.net been around?
We're relatively new. We've been around right at the 2-year mark. Got developed roughly around late spring of 2013. So, but we're starting to get some really good traction now. So, yeah.
So it's working well already?
Yes. Yeah. We have about 300 or so people on, using it, daily, clocking in and out, you know, doing their payrolls and everything. And it's been, heaven sent. I think a lot of my clients have been, really happy with it. I actually spoke to one of my clients, yesterday, and, we customized a report. We customized all our reports for TimeQ, and, we made it a new added feature in, and he absolutely loved it. He called us up and was like, oh yeah, this is like, I can't live without it. You know, we really reduced their, payroll structure. They were usually taking roughly about, Somewhere over an hour to do payroll. We've cut it down to under like 10, 15 minutes to do it. So we really streamlined their entire process because we customize a lot of stuff for them.
Yeah, so it's not just the clocking in and clocking out.
You're
providing all that information and then being able to transmit it almost instantly to the payroll services.
Exactly. That's exactly right. We have pretty much a complete front-end solution that the employees will kind of deal with, and it links to your payroll. And one of the cool things about that is in the back end, you know, companies sometimes they change their payroll software up a lot. They'll keep it for 2 or 3 years, come with another one that's a little cheaper, or maybe customer service a little bit better. With TimeQ, that works out great because TimeQ sits in the front part, so the employees see the TimeQ part. The back end is actually handled by the administrator. So if you change your payroll, you don't have to retrain your employees because the employees only see TimeQ. So TimeQ will work with your new payroll. So it saves companies a lot of time and a lot of money just from that standpoint, among other reasons.
Yeah, and also you don't want the employee worried as they're clocking in, clocking out. It's all going to go away. You
know, right.
Everything changes on the back end, so they just continue to go to work and leave work as normal.
Exactly, exactly right, yeah. And so they can, you know, they don't have to worry about learning the new software. They don't have to worry about retraining them. And the employees, even if the employer doesn't want them to use their cell phone, they can use their computers and they can access just the reports from their cell phone. So that's another cool feature that we have. So that you know, let's say you have an employee that that's going to be actually at their desk, but they're at home and they're not going to be moving around. Well, they can still at home download all the clocking and out they did at their desk, and then they can see all the reports and everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. What if I'm one of the 12 people in the city that doesn't have a smartphone?
Right.
You know, and can I still use TimeQ.net?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smartphone's just one way that we're doing
okay.
it. You can do it via a smartphone, a tablet. You can go to our website and you should log in from the website. We have a client that they don't use the phones at all. They use an access card. And what they basically do is they each employee gets assigned a card, and then they tap the clock in, tap the clock out. We have this system, a sensor that we mounted on the walls, and they tap the clock in, tap the clock out. And every time they tap the clock in, they get a text message saying that they successfully clocked in via text, and then they get a text message saying they successfully clocked out, which is almost like a receipt because mm-hmm. you know, you don't have that type, you don't have any way of knowing what time. So they text you, TimeQ will text you saying you clocked in, clocked out successfully, and then they can actually go to our website and then just log in, and then they can see, you know, how many hours they work just from the access card.
Oh, so that makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you're evolving over there to serve your customers' needs as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that actually was a feature that a customer wanted. And we were able to kind of implement that into it. So we created TimeQ so that it can evolve with the time. You know, we didn't want to make it a static application that was just doing A, B, and C. We wanted to be flexible enough to where if our clients want something, then we can add it relatively quickly. And that's kind of what we do with it.
Now, is it free for the employee to download the app or you access it from their smartphone, or they have to, or is that, you know, something they get billed as well?
No, it's free.
It's okay.
What we basically do is that we do a per employee per month. So what'll happen is that client will say, okay, I now have 50 employees that I want to use it. And we have a set price for that 50 employees. And, you know, the 50 employees can download the app and do it whatever they want, or they can just use the computer. And what'll happen is we just track it on the back end. So if it goes up to 55 employees, they don't have to worry about contacting us because it's dynamic. So it'll, you know, if 55 employees download the app, we'll see that and we'll just say, you know, hey, you know, you're using 55 this month. This is what the total be.
So it's
flexible. So it goes up and down based on employee needs. So they're not set to something that they don't know.
And I think I remember we met at the Buckhead Club at that networking event a couple weeks ago for On-Site Business Radio. But you mentioned it clocks into the second as well. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a
nice thing about TimeQ that a lot of almost pretty much nobody really does is that we do round it up to the second. And what it basically does is that most time clocks will, if you clock in at 8 o'clock, and then you clock out at 5, that's your normal, you know, if you clock in at lunch, your 8-hour day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But TimeQ doesn't do it that way. TimeQ basically, if you clock in at 8 o'clock, it actually rounds to the second. So it'll be 8 o'clock in like 38 seconds. So, but if you clock out at 5 o'clock in like 20 seconds, seconds, you're actually, you know, like 18 seconds short
That's
from
right.
actually having 8 hours. So it, you will only get 7 hours and 59 minutes. And what basically happens is that it's only like you save a minute or two per employee per month. But what that basically does is that it saves, you know, an employer, like it could save up to like 10, 15 cents, even a dollar, you know, per
yeah.
employee. And over a period of time, you start saving a lot of money. So TimeQ actually pays for itself many times over. You actually end up saving money by using a software that you're actually spending money on. So it actually is a good feature. You can actually, you know, make money from the software. And that's very unique.
That certainly is. And so you're saving the company money from the front end when the employees are clocking in, also saving them money on the back end with the payroll services and the time it takes to process those amounts. But I think overall, you're preventing fraud at the time clock.
Exactly.
As well, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We are preventing fraud. We have a lot of security features that we're adding into it, that we've added into it from IP blocking, where you can only clock in and out. If you use the computer part from inside of the building, so if you have the URL, you can't access it from anywhere else. You know, we have the address blocking, so that when you add a specific location, you can only clock in and out from addresses that your employer says. Mm-hmm. And we're adding a new feature where, I think I may mention this to you, where we're taking pictures with it. So what will happen is that your phone and your computer will actually snap your picture when you clock in or out. It will send that information to your employer. And so they'll see who clocked in, what time they clocked in, where they clocked in from, and it'll all be in the back end, so you won't have any. So there's no way you can have your buddy say, hey, you know, can you clock me in because it snapped your picture?
I'd have to admit that I took advantage of that over about 20 years ago. I worked in a warehouse, and the time clock was in the back of the warehouse, mm-hmm. and all the suits in the front of the company did not come into the warehouse. So I could easily call and say, hey, man, I'm taking an extra long lunch. Just go ahead and clock me in. And my mm-hmm. friend would do that. They never knew the wires were up front.
Right.
You know, but,
right.
You know, I think that was a combination of, you know, the old style, plus there was no communication from the warehouse to the front of the house there. And I was just a young punk who could take advantage of the system. So
right.
I'm glad to see that employees now have an opportunity to prevent that from happening.
Right.
And saving money at the same time.
Exactly. And one of the things we do is that a lot of people say, oh, wow, employees really are not going to like you for all this, you know, you're doing with it. But it actually makes their lives a lot easier because you're able to see at any given moment how many hours you work anywhere, from your phone, from the website. You get to access that at any second you want to, mm-hmm. and not have to worry about anything. We're also adding in the app where you'll be able to send PTO and vacation requests straight from the app. And how we're basically going to work is, a lot of times, you know, let's say you have a sick child, right? And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to run the child to the hospital. You know, you're going to be at the hospital all day. You can't make it to work. You know, you're calling your boss. They're not answering their cell phone. You send them an email and you know, it's a hope and prayer that they get it before, you know, they may not check their email. What basically happens with TimeQ will, they will be able to download the app. This is coming in our next release, is that they'll be able to download the app and then they'll be able to send a PTO request in the app.
Instantly.
What will happen is that the boss would have their app on the phone as well. So their supervisor will immediately get an alert that says, hey, you know, Harold Alexander would like a PTO for today. Would you allow to accept that? And then the supervisor will accept it or deny it based on, you know, their situation on the phone right then and there. And then the employee will immediately get it. And all this is done in real time while they're actually sitting at the hospital. So they will be able to see, hey, my boss got my PTO request. He or she accepted it. And then so I'm good to go. And everything's been approved. So you don't have to worry about it. You know that you use PTO hours. You can go ahead and kind of focus on what's the important thing. So we're trying to make it a lot easier.
Oh, that's great, man. I'm thoroughly impressed with what you're doing over here and how you're changing the whole, you know, workforce. I know there's a lot of companies out there who pay you overtime after 8 hours a day,
right.
Not just after 40 hours a week.
Right.
So a lot of guys would just kind of ride the clock,
right.
And wait, you know, for that 8 hour changeover, and then they get to work.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so that's good. Now, was this something you developed all on your own, or did you have a team of folks helping you out?
Well, we actually, we had another developer who helped me out with the development of it. I did the vast majority of the coding, but I do have someone who helped out a lot. And actually, TimeQ came across completely by accident. I had a client of mine who really needed a time clock. And we had developed this application for this medical facility. We're talking about medical IT. I created this application for this medical facility, and they needed a time clock in it. And so, you know, I we create the time clock, threw it in there, and didn't think anything of it. And then maybe a month or two later, we had another client that says, hey, you know, we need a time clock. Mm-hmm. So I said, huh, we just created this time clock in, you know, our application. So we pulled it out of the application, spun it off in its own. Again, we didn't really think anything of it. And then we just kind of gave it to them. And then we had another person, then another person. Then I said, you know what, this would probably be a cool little product.
Yeah.
So we started building it, and then we added the mobile feature to it. And then it started taking off from there.
And you're still evolving and you're still growing your business at TimeQ. And so what's on the horizon for you? What's next? Hopefully get into every major business out there, right?
Yeah. We are fortunate enough. We got our first government facility. We're doing a sheriff department, the entire department. And so that, I think, will springboard us to getting into more government facilities and then getting more counties and everything. We got a couple of companies that are looking at it that are really interested in it. So we're growing. We're trying to stay above and ahead of the game by adding new and exciting features. We got a couple of features that we're going to be expanding, the texting feature with it. We're going to be, you know, doing more stuff with the picture taking and advancing it. And what we're basically going to be doing is we're going to be trying to tie it into social media so that you'll be able to communicate and get your information via your Twitter account and all that. We're still working on the fine tuning of that, on how we're going to work that out. But we're trying to stay one step of the game of everything. So we're trying to stay fresh and new and just try to keep it easy for people to get their time.
Wow, it's just a wealth of information. I mean, I tuned into your interview on On-Site Business Radio, but this really just adds so many more dimensions to it. Rich Casanova here again, producer engineer, reminding you, you're listening to Georgia Business Radio here at Buckhead Business Radio X Studios, and every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. And so, Harold, this idea, it's almost a little Big Brother kind of stuff. Right? it's way cool for the employer, but there's just interesting things. So this idea of 7 hours, 59 minutes, and 42 seconds, so that now I'm no longer a full-time employee? Or
Well, yeah. Well, actually, you still are.
I know, I was just teasing. that could be an interesting dynamic there. But seriously, so who do you look to get in front of? So it's a two-part question. Who do you look to get in front of, and what are your challenges in making that happen?
Well, we're trying to get in front of a lot of HR people. We work very well with staffing companies and payroll companies. There's a lot of payroll companies that have like a time clock built in, but it's very, very, very simple. It's usually just very basic. So payroll companies, staffing companies, we've been looking into get into also home cleaning. It works great for home cleaning companies because they can type in all of the addresses and then they can send their employees out and then they know that the person is going to be there.
Based on the GPS.
And exactly.
They've clocked in at that destination, not just at their home, and then they're out running errands.
Whatever. Exactly. You know exactly where they were, you know where they are, how long they've been there and everything. And the picture taking technology is actually great for them as well because they can, when they get there, they can snap a picture and show a picture of the house, and then they can snap a picture when they clock out to show a picture of what they did after they cleaned the house.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a saving. So in a GPS, so it locks that in place. So they, you know, so you can, it's more of a security, a safety feature for them.
Yeah. That. And then what about like companies opening operating fleet vehicles?
Yes.
Traveling all around as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's also a great one. And, you know, HR. And one of our challenges the second part of your question was, you know, being a small startup and then getting everything, you know, you're still trying to prove yourself.
Absolutely.
They kind of look at you and they say, well, you know, you haven't been around that long, we haven't heard of you,
right?
So you know,
you compete with the big boys,
right? Exactly. And we like to think that we're better than most of the big boys, because you get something from TimeQ that you will never get from any of the other guys, and that is you get to interact directly with the developer, the person who actually wrote the software, not just a salesman trying to sell you the product.
Well, and as great as some big organizations are, right, I think what you bring to the table is you're more nimble.
Right.
Right. So it's a lot easier if a employer has a challenge and they're trying to face, you can more easily address that and you can tweak it and on the fly, so to speak. Whereas you have these huge companies, you know, they can't just make that shift that easily, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's a great example. We had one of our largest clients, the one that actually is in the plant, they called us up literally and they said, hey, we want to add this new feature, you know, to make it a lot easier for our reporting system. And they asked us on a Monday, and then by that Friday it was in there. So yeah. we really do things relatively quickly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today in Georgia Business Radio. Continue much success with TimeQ. Hopefully you can get into all the businesses out there, just not here at Buckhead Business Radio. don't make me clock in and clock out.
We'll talk Harold afterwards.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Remind our listeners how they can find out more information about your services, please.
Okay, yeah, you can go to our website, www.timeq, that's TimeCue.net. You can link with me on LinkedIn at Harold Alexander. Just pull me up. You'll see Alexander Software is under the name. That's pretty much it. And you can email us at info@timeq.net, and then we can respond back to you with any questions you have. Or we do free demos as well, so we can come to your office and show you how it works and work out how we can connect with your system.
Excellent. And if you ever get into the Coca-Cola building or perhaps the state government, come back on Business Radio X and tell us your story about that.
I certainly will. If anybody at Coca is listening, please contact me. I would love to show you. And I want to make one thing about Trish and Hippopotamus. She just probably don't know this, but when I first started doing TimeQ, I actually used to go to Hippopotamus all the time. And I used to get a lot of great information, and I loved the environment. It was one of my favorite places to go and hang out, because they just had a lot of meetups there. So I really loved it, and it used to give me that San Francisco kind of feel, because it has the brick walls, and it's very friendly to developers. So if anybody is a startup out there and they're really looking to get with a great co-working space, Hippopotamus is definitely the way to go. It's a great environment, and I love it. I can't talk enough good things about it. So
awesome. On-air testimonial right there, unsolicited.
Right. I'll give you 10 bucks after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, that is great.
Lunch is on Trisha after the show.
Well, very good. We just got a few more minutes here left, so we would like to take it to the next question here. We'll kind of open it up for everyone. We'll go back to Trisha here. You know, you're right there on the edge of technology, and it's evolving and staying current is sure. Something that's very important to you. So where do you go to get some of this new information or see what's next out there in the tech world?
Well, really, I mean, for us, once it's big news, it's kind of already out. So for me, it's really working all the different pitch events, going to demo days, and then just kind of keeping my ear to the ground and connecting with people who I'm covering to say, who else do you know who's out there that's building something? Yeah. So it's very much kind of staying in the grassroots of what's happening and then reporting on it.
That's right. So you're in front of the cutting edge.
We're trying to be.
Yeah, that's right. You know, because
we're just trying to report on the folks that are in front of the
cutting
edge.
Yeah, because once it's written by Hippopotamus, it's going to be written out somewhere, and it's old news by the time it gets somewhere else.
Right. We hope so, for sure. I mean, we love when we cover startups that they get, you know, bigger and bigger publications to pick them up, but for the most case, we usually are picking them up first. So it's great for us to be able to say that we found them when, you know, they were 18 and building something, and, you know, whatever it is.
Oh, that's great. Well, anything else that keeps you motivated or inspires you on a daily basis out there to keep you plugging away at Hippopotamus?
I actually get a lot of great emails of people that find jobs through us or have landed a big customer through us and through what we've done for them. So when I get those kind of emails and people are so grateful, it kind of, you know, keeps me going when it's like the 12-hour days and I'm putting the newsletter together and it's 3 a.m. Just getting feedback from folks that we're really making a difference is what keeps me going.
So that's great. So that's interesting. You're turning back into the organization itself to stay inspired, to stay motivated.
Yeah, it's been very good to me.
Yeah, you don't have to go elsewhere to seek that. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Remind our listeners,
me.
You can go to hippopotamus.com to find out more information,
yes,
or follow them on Twitter at Hippopotamus for all what's next out there in the tech world. So, Blake, what about you? What motivates you or inspires you to keep going there at over50jobboard.com?
Well, it's encouraging when you see someone come on and they sign up and then they apply for a job. Now, whether they get the job or not, who knows? But at least they're trying. Mm-hmm. They're putting out effort, and it's encouraging to be a part of that. You know, if we can help these people who have needs, who need to work, find something that fits them, then we feel like we've been successful.
So again, you're turning back into the organization to see someone succeed in their job search, and when they do, that helps you stay motivated to help the next person.
Yeah, that's encouraging. That's a big part of why we started this, is because we feel like there's a social need for this. I mean, it's truly trying to help people, and there are a lot of people out there that are in the situation where they need assistance, and they don't always know where to turn to help them find a place.
Well, good. Well, thank you for joining us in here today on Georgia Business Radio. We wish you much success going forward personally, as well as over50jobboard.com.
Thank you.
Look forward to hearing more good things about you going forward. And back to Harold for just a moment. Yeah, you're a software developer. You're someone out there who is always on the edge of things and looking for that new technology. So what motivates you or inspires you to continue chasing that dream?
You know what? I was at one of my clients maybe about a couple of days ago, and I was doing something unrelated, and I saw one of their employees clocking in, and I saw Time Q on like 3 or 4 computers, you know, up, and I saw them looking at their hours, and one of the things Time Q does is that after you clock out, it shows you how many hours you worked that day, so you don't have to really guess. It shows you like a little blip, and they were just really happy. They're like, oh yes, I worked this many hours, like really good, and it was just it gives me just seeing that is like a great feeling. So that motivates me more than anything else.
Good. Well, glad to hear it does, and continue much success for you. And hopefully, again, we'll see Time Q all over out there helping employees and employers track their hours and save money at the same time. So, Rich, come to the conclusion here once again. Another great show.
Unbelievable show. Yeah, I think you topped yourself in the guest here. I was just making a couple of notes. I thought this was kind of interesting. You really covered from startup to start over.
right.
That's great. Hit the restart,
yeah, we're the opposite end of what Tricia works with. So
yeah, but I mean, fast forward a number of years, and the people that are creating something new right now. At a certain point, I agree with you. Said it, my goal, even as a kid, I can remember, is like I always thought I want to be in business, but my goal is to be always semi-retired. I don't ever want to clock out, so to speak. Right. I always want to be clocked in, but maybe not on a 80-hour work week,
right?
But I wonder how much of your percentage, because you mentioned that earlier on, is it folks that are by no fault of their own, or downsized, or just misplaced, or displaced in the workforce, and they're kind of forced into finding the next position, as opposed to those folks that are at that semi-retired, that they just don't want to be out on the golf course.
And you find both. You find both. It's like I said earlier, there are those that have to work.
Right.
They need to be able to make money to live.
Sure.
And then you have those who don't necessarily have to work, but just want to work.
Well, you want to still be engaged.
Right.
You know, I mean, my uncle lived well into his 90s, and up until almost then, he was like, he had been retired from the Bell Company up in New York, but was door-to-door kind of selling these mats for businesses, whatever. And it gave him something to get out and get going or whatever, right?
Exactly.
So, great show, Ryan.
Yep. Once again, Georgia Business Radio come to the conclusion. I'd just like to mention, if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page on the website at buckheadbusinessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thanks again to Rich Casanova. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.